2 Kings chapter number 4, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer before we get into our message this morning. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do, God. And God, I'm so unworthy to stand here and to proclaim your word, God, but I feel that you've spoken to my heart and given me this message this morning. God, I pray that you'll get me and my weaknesses out of the way. Forgive me for the sin that comes into my life, God. And as we're here together as a family this morning, I pray that you'll help us to get into your word. I pray that you'll let your word speak to us. Let your Holy Spirit just squeeze our hearts this morning. And God, if there's adjusting that needs to be done in our life, may we adjust it. God, I pray to your Father that if it's just praise and glory that we need to give you, let us do that also. God, I also just want to thank you and praise you that you never gave up on me, that there's been times in my life when my back was against the wall. There's been times in my life when I've went astray, God, and through all of that you have always been there for me, and I just want to thank you and praise you for that. God, if there's a need here this morning, I pray that need will be met. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. 2 Kings chapter number 4. Seems like I had this thought on my mind throughout the week, and there was different little things that happened throughout the week that just kind of reassured that this was the direction we needed to go. We're going to do just a little bit of reading, beginning reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed a Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said to her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make him a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." In other words, this guy was coming by, this prophet Elisha was coming by their house. And every time that he came by that way, he'd stop and eat with them. And the lady of the house said, I believe that this is a man of God. Let us make him a little room somewhere that when he comes by this week, he's got somewhere to take a load off, to stay with us for a couple of days. Verse number 11, "And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he stood unto him now, saying now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of hosts? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. Now Elisha, he realizes the sacrifice that this lady is taking for him and the care that she and her husband is giving him and Gehazi, his servant, when they come by. And Elisha wants to repay that in some way. And he says, Gehazi, he says, I want you to go and talk to this lady and I want you to ask her, how can we repay her? What can we do for her? So he goes and he talks to this little Shunammite woman and he says, What can we do for her? Can we speak for the king? Would you like to dwell with the king? Would you like the king to give you special favor? And this lady answers and says, No, I dwell among my own people. I don't need that kind of special treatment. Verse number 14. And he said, Elisha is speaking to her again, and he said, What is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. So now they've got down to what they can really do for this lady. Her husband is old and she's never had a child. And they know that her heart's desire is to have a child. Verse number 16. And he said, About this season, Elisha is talking to them again. And about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she say, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie to thine handmaid. Don't tell me this is going to happen if this is not going to happen. Verse number 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. So Elisha tells this lady that she's going to conceive and that she was going to have a son. And at first she didn't believe him, but we find in verse 17 that she did conceive and that she had the child. In verse number 18, the child has got a little older. Verse number 18, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. He's out working with dad on the farm. In verse number 19, and he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. As they're out working, he just starts complaining with his head. And his dad tells one of the other servants, he says, Take that boy to his mama. Verse number 20, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. This morning, for just a few minutes, I want us to look at this scripture, and you can read the rest of the scripture later, and you can see how God works amazingly even through this. And man, what a great event that this is that's described in the Bible. But the thought that was on my mind this week and the thought that just kept being reassured to me is God and life is not fair. God and life is not fair. You know, I've been told several times through my life when I said life is not that this isn't fair, that my dad might would look at me and say, well, son, life is not fair. And even now when my kids look at me and they say, well, this isn't fair, I say, that's okay because life is not fair. And there are things that's happened in our life and things that we have seen in our life that we look and we say, you know what? God is not fair. And here in this story that we have read this morning, this lady took so good care of the prophet of God. This lady, she had taken so good care of him and his servant, and they gave her her heart's desire. She wanted a child, and they gave her her heart's desire, and everything is wonderful in her life, and everything is great, and everything is joyous, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Everything is wonderful, and then all of a sudden, there's a turn of events. All of a sudden, something happens, and the Bible doesn't even really tell us what happened, except for that the boy was crying about his head hurting, and that he goes home to his mama, and sitting there in his mama's lap at noon that the young boy died. Now this lady had already told the servant of God, don't lie to me. If I'm not going to conceive and I'm not going to have a child, don't tell me I'm going to. And it happened, so I'm sure her faith was increased. But then this comes along, and all of a sudden, this joy that she had in her life, this thing that brought so much happiness in her life, this fulfillment of her life, just like that, it was gone. And I cannot imagine the thought not going through her head that this is not fair. That God has, why is God doing this to me? Because this is not fair. Well, I think first of all, we got to understand what the definition of fair is. And as I looked it up at this morning and I looked it up on my phone on the internet, in accordance with rules or standards, fair is a simple definition. Now there's two or three different acceptances of this word or two different uses. But the one that we're looking at this morning is in accordance to the rules or to the standards. Now, yesterday I mentioned to someone that this was the thought that was going through my mind. And my friend looked at me and he was using a softball reference because we just had got done playing softball. And he says, sometimes the only thing that is fair is a ball hit between third and first. And how true that is. That's fair, ain't it? When you're standing on a ball field, that's fair. It's got to be in between the rules. It's got to be between the lines. But sometimes when you look at life, and sometimes when you look at what it seems like that God has given us, or maybe sometimes what we even feel like God has taken from us, it's not fair. And it's easy for that mindset to be in our lives. Because when you look around and when you try to look at the standard that we're looking at, and you're trying to look at the rules that we're looking at, things look as if they're not fair. Let me give you a couple examples that come to my mind this morning as I was trying to get all my thoughts together. Couples who would love to have children and can't. And yet, there's over 700,000 abortions in the United States every year. Doesn't seem fair, does it? It doesn't seem fair that there's a couple out here somewhere that would love to have a child, that would bring the child up in the nurture and their admonition of God, and they would bring that baby to church, and they would do everything to bring that kid up to love God and to cherish God's words. And for some reason, they're not able to get pregnant, and yet you got people out here who are having abortions every day. It would be easy to say, life's not fair, God's not fair. It would be easy to say that it's not fair. Some of you have experienced loss of loved ones that seemed way before their time. Some of you have lost children. Some of you have lost siblings. Some of you have lost husbands or wives. And it seems like in our minds that we would say, God, it's not fair. Life is not fair. Why did I experience this? We would seem to say sometimes that it is not fair for people who do wrong, for people who are mean and cruel, and people who are against everything that we believe in. It seems like they are successful in this world. It seems like they are financially well off, that they're able to do anything that they want to, and it would seem unfair. It would seem to be unfair that people who love God and people who help others and people who have good hearts and people who are just good people suffer. It seems unfair. It seems unfair that good people battle cancer, sickness, and others. But, you know, it kind of reminds me of a song that you're going to live forever if the good die young. Because it seems like the good people, they go through bad things. They have cancer. They have sickness. They have all these different things. And then the people, can I just be real blunt with you this morning? I know people who are hooked on meth, who are just in a bad shape, and I'm not throwing down on them, not being downcast on them, but they can go out and have a car wreck, and they're the ones. Or how many times have you heard a drunk driver killing a family, but the drunk driver lives? It seems unfair. We would say that, God, you're unfair, that life is unfair. But you see, we're judging fairness according to our rules and to our standards when we do that. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter number 55 and verse 8, it says that my thoughts, Isaiah's reading, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. That my ideas about what God should do and my thoughts about what God should do is not God's ideas and not God's ways and not God's thoughts. And even though that logically speaking, we look at the rules and we look at the lines and we say, this is not fair. This is not inside the lines. This is not inside the regulation. Why in the world is this happening? That the Bible tells me that my thoughts are not God's thoughts and my ways are not God's ways. And yet, even using the example of going back to softball, the only thing that is fair is a ball hit between third and first. Have you ever stood at home plate and looked at the chalk lines on a ball field? Almost every one that I have ever seen, almost every chalk line that I have, I used to do a bunch of them because I was over at the Booster Club up at Cana at St. Paul. And I would get done, and man, walking behind that chalk line is weird anyway. You like this the whole way. And I'd be going along. Man, I'm thinking I'm just doing a beautiful straight line. And I get up and I look back, and it looks like I was drunk. I mean, it's just all over the place. And I said that to say this. Our rules, our regulations, our guidelines are not perfect. But God's rules and God's guidelines and God's word is perfect. And when as long as it falls in line with God's rules and God's regulations, then there is no way that we can say that it's unfair. It feels so unfair to us. It feels so hurtful to us. It feels so painful to us that we can't see how in the world that this is fair, or how in the world that life treated us this way, or how that God could treat us this way. But yet we know that God's will is perfect and God's way is perfect. And it's easy for me to stand there and say that today because I'm not going through what some of you have already been through, what some of you may be going through. But I want to encourage us this morning that when it seems like God is not being fair and that God is and that life is not being fair, that we may be looking at a standard that is not the correct standard. We may be looking at rules that's not God's rules and it's not God's ways. But I do want to show you something really quick that I do believe that is unfair. I believe that it is unfair that when God created this world perfect, that God spoke this thing into existence and everything was just exactly like God wanted it. I believe that it is unfair that when God created us and he put Adam and Eve there in a perfect garden, he put Adam and Eve in a place where there was no sin, he put Adam and Eve in a place where they were just to enjoy each other's company, that they were just there to be what God had placed them here on this earth to be. It is unfair that he told them to go and not eat from one tree, and yet they chose to go and eat from that tree. It is unfair that God said, here, I'm giving you everything that you could possibly want or need. Just don't choose this. And how can God look at us and not say, it is unfair that I created everything perfect and yet you chose to go against my will? I think that it's unfair that sin becomes so destructive and that sin becomes so ruling on this earth that God had to take something that he had created perfect, that God had created something that was so wonderful, and he had to decide to destroy it with the flood one day because we as people had turned it into such a mess. See, we like to think about how God, or it seems like it affects us more, and we think about how God is unfair to us, but look at us this morning. How are we unfair to God? He created everything perfect, and yet the sin that becomes so destructive that God had to destroy his own creation by flood. It wasn't fair. See, even after sin come on the scene, and after sin come to where it was so destructive that used to in the Old Testament that once a year the priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would offer a sacrifice for everyone's sin. And he would take the blood of bulls and goats and turtle doves. And you can go back and you can read in Deuteronomy and Numbers about and Leviticus about the things that they had to do for their sin, about the law. But it is unfair that one day that our sin becomes so prevalent and that our sin becomes so overwhelming that the blood of bulls and goats was no longer going to be sufficient for that sacrifice, that no longer could the priest go in and offer a sacrifice for your sin and for my sin, and there had to be one ultimate sacrifice for our sin. That wasn't fair. It wasn't fair that Jesus Christ had to leave the splendor of heaven. Now, because I want you to understand this morning that Jesus is God, that God was in heaven and God chose to become flesh and to name himself Jesus Christ. And he had to come to this earth. He had to become flesh. He had to go through the same temptations that you and I do. Yet without sin, I think it is unfair that he had to leave heaven to come and to rescue people that he created perfect, that he gave a perfect place. And yet we chose to go against his will. It was unfair that he had to do that. It was unfair that he had to live here on this earth for 33 and a half years so that he could be crucified on a cross. It isn't fair that he had to give his life for mine. It wasn't fair that all the miracles that Jesus done, and such a wonderful man that he was, and that he was God in the flesh here on this earth. It's not fair that one day that they chose to kill him. Even though he had healed the blind, he had given people who were lame the ability to walk. He had raised people from the dead, and yet they chose to crucify him. Show me the fairness in that. It's not fair that he had to give his life for mine. You want to know what's not fair? Because we've been talking about a lot of stuff that was in biblical times, but let me talk to you about my life now. It's not fair that at the age of 7, he chose to forgive me of my sin. It's not fair that he said, I'm going to wipe your slate clean, that I'm going to allow you to be perfect in my eyes. It's not fair that even though after he did that, since the age of 7, that I couldn't even be perfect after that, that I still sin and that I still come short of God's glory and that I still sometimes allow sin into my life. It's not fair that he did all of that for me, that he loved me so much, that he gave his life on a cross for me and went through that punishment. It's not fair that I still choose to do wrong. It's not fair. It's not fair that I walk away from God at times in my life. Even at times when I was serving as a Sunday school teacher, that I was serving as a deacon, that I was preaching God's word, that I was pastoring a church, there have been times that my life has still moved away from God. There's been times that I wasn't seeking to draw closer to God, but my mind and my heart was drawing away from God. Even though that I may still be preaching every Sunday, and even though that I may still be preaching every Sunday, that there's times that my mind and my heart, it draws away from God. And you want to know what's not fair is sometimes that I leave God in my mind and my heart, and yet he has promised me that he will never leave me and never forsake me. That's not fair. It's not fair that I still do wrong. It's not fair that one day when I stand before him, that even though I've done all of this wrong stuff, now we're talking about fire this morning. You want to get fire? Let's get fire. It's not fair that one day when I stand before God, knowing the sin that I've had in my life, knowing the times that I have chosen to do wrong, knowing the times that I have not done things that I should have done, it's not fair that one day when I stand before God, that when he looks at my life, it's not fair that he's not going to see my sin, but yet he's going to see the blood of his darling son. That yet he's going to look at me and he's going to say, you're forgiven, your sin has been forgotten. That he's going to look at me and he's not going to see all of my sin and my shortcomings. He's not going to see the times that I pulled away from him, but yet he's going to see his love that he had for me and allowing Jesus Christ to give his life for me on a cross. That's not fair, but I want to tell you something this morning, church. I'm glad that God's not fair, because fair would be holding me accountable for the things that I've done wrong. Fair would be looking at me and saying, you're a sinner. Fair would be saying, we know that you're not perfect. We know that even after you gave your life to us, that you tried to take parts of it back. Fair would be for him to look at me and say, I know that you tried, but you failed, so you deserve hell. That's what would be fair this morning, but I'm so glad that God's not fair. I'm so glad that there's grace and there's mercy. I'm so glad that when God looks at me, he doesn't see fair, but he sees love that Jesus Christ had for me. I'm glad I'm not going to get what's fair, but I'm going to get grace and mercy and forgiveness. I'm glad I got love. Let's remember sometimes when we're looking at fair, we want to look at things one-sided, don't we? We want to look and say, hey, well, it's all about me. I'm so glad that God's not fair. One day I'm going to get to be in his presence. And it's not even fair that I'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ one day. Church, can I tell you something this morning? If we'll all be honest, if we all take a real deep look into our lives, there is none of us here this morning that deserve to be in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. There is none of us. Aren't you glad that God's not fair? Aren't you glad that you're not going to get what you deserve? Aren't you glad that when you stand before God, that he's not going to give you the payment that you deserve, but he's going to look at the payment that was paid on the cross for you and for me? See, sometimes this life, it isn't fair. Sometimes we don't understand the rules and the regulations. Sometimes we don't understand what God is doing in our lives and what God's doing around our lives. And man, it does. It feels so unfair. And I definitely am not condemning you this morning if you have felt that life has been unfair or that God has been unfair, because I think in some point in time of all of our lives that we could say that it feels like that life wasn't fair and God wasn't fair. I believe we could all say that at some point in time, whether we're in our own lives or looking at other people's lives. But I want to tell you this morning that spiritually I am so glad that God's not fair. I'm glad that he doesn't give up on me even when I move away. I'm so glad. You know what? We're so one-sided sometimes. Listen, last year, we went to, I like to use little examples. Maybe you can figure out my weird mind one of these days. But last year, we went to a softball tournament, and we were getting beat. Now listen, when you're talking about fairness, and as long as you're winning, everything seems fair, right? Everything, this is good. This is fine. But we went to a tournament, and there was a girl that was probably 2 feet taller than all of our girls. We were supposed to be playing in the 10U tournament, and this girl, she already looked like a woman. I was like, there is no way that this girl is 10U. Absolutely not. But we were getting beat. So I was like, this ain't fair. I want to see a birth certificate. Now, we never did go through with it, but I want to see a birth certificate. But you know what? This year, we got the same little team. We've added a couple of girls to our team. And all of a sudden, we're the team that's got a girl that everybody's looking at and going, there's no way she's 12U. And I'm surprised that they hadn't come and asked us for a birth certificate yet. I really am. But I'm like, you better not say it's not fair. I know that girl's age. But see, it's all about us. It's all about our perspective. Sometimes our perspective is not God's perspective. Sometimes we have no idea what God's doing. And it doesn't seem fair. Jennifer, Hannah, if y'all will, come get an invitational hymn or song. But sometimes we're trying so hard to be logically thinking about what God's doing. We're trying so hard to understand what God's doing in our lives here. Now get this for just a minute. But this life is so temporal. And this life is, man, this is a getting ready place. This is so, we're just pilgrims and strangers here passing through. But it's amazing how God has blessed this life that we really cherish this life that God's given us. And sometimes this life is not going to be fair, and sometimes it's going to feel like God's not fair. But just remember the fairness of God. Look, I want to share just three or four scriptures with you just a minute. I saved them here on my phone. I'm not getting on the internet here. Listen to this. John chapter number 3 and verse number 15. I want you to hear fair. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Revelations 22 and verse number 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now let me give you fair, that no matter what you've done, no matter where you are with God right now, that you have an opportunity before you leave here today to be right with God. It's not really fair on God's behalf. It's not really fair that he would forgive you of everything that you've done just like that. But again, I'm glad God's not fair. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible tells me that one day I'm going to stand before him. The Bible tells me one day I'm going to die and I'm going to stand before God, and that there's going to be some books there, and those books are going to be open. If my name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I won't go to heaven. Now, let me just be real blunt with you. If you don't go to heaven, you go to hell. There's no in-between ground. There's no purgatory. There's no place that you can go that we can pay or pray you out. It's a decision that you're going to make this morning. But the Bible tells me that because of the fairness of God, that even though my mind's wicked, that even though sometimes my heart strays, that just by coming to Jesus Christ and saying, God, I believe that you love me enough that you allowed your son to die on a rugged cross. I believe and I know that I have sin in my life, and God, I want you to forgive me of that. And God, I want you to be Lord of my life. That in the fairness of God, he said anybody that'll do that, that I'll save them. That they will be mine. Won't make you perfect. There's no possible way we could be perfect. But it will give you a new life. It will give you eternal life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't know where you're at with God this morning. I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. Would there be anyone here this morning that would say, preacher, I have felt like life has been unfair. I have felt like God has been unfair. But I understand that I don't know God's rules and regulations. But would you pray for me? Because I don't want to struggle with this. I don't want to feel that God has been fair. God sees your hand, you put it right back down. Preacher, I want you, God sees your hand, you put it right back down. God sees your hand, you put it right back down. Yes, yeah, God sees your hand, put it right back down. God sees your hand, put it right back down. I felt like life's been a little bit unfair and I'm struggling with it. And preacher, I need you to pray for me. Anyone else? God sees your hand, you put it right back down. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. Anywhere else? God sees your hand. Put it right back down. God sees your hand. Preacher, I'm here this morning, and I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I need God in my life. I understand I need forgiveness of my sins. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to be able to come today. I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to get saved today. But I want you to pray for me. I don't want to die lost. Preacher, will you pray for me? Anyone here, would you lift your hand and just let me pray for you? Wouldn't come to you, wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in the world. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I know without a doubt that I've been saved. I know that I have. But my heart has moved away. My mind has moved away, and I'm not walking with God the way that I should. I'm being unfair to God. He's never been unfair to me, but I'm being unfair to God. Will you pray for me that I'll get my life back to where it should be? That I'll allow God to take control of my life. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. You put it right down. God sees your hand. God sees hands all over the church. God, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for everything that you've done. God, I want to thank you for the way that you're speaking to our hearts this morning. God, I pray in just a minute as we stand to our feet, God, and we give this invitational hymn, God, if there's a need, God, that this altar is open and that people will find the place, God, in their courage and in their strength, God, to come and talk things over with you. God, I just want to thank you and I want to praise you for all that you do. God, for the ones it seems like maybe that life seems like it's been unfair, that God's been unfair, God, give them strength. Give them courage. God, I pray if it be your will that you'll give them understanding. But God, most of all, just let them know that you're there with them. If there is one here today that's lost, God, I pray that you'll help them to come and accept you. For us as Christians, God, that sometimes our heart moves away and our mind moves away. God, I'm glad that you're not fair and that you don't leave us. But God, I pray, dear Father, if there's any that needs to make reconciliation with you this morning, that God, they'll move. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. If you will, stand to your feet this morning. Hannah's going to sing. If there's anything you need to come to the altar and pray about, this altar is open. Feel free. You've already acknowledged to God and acknowledged to me. Come on and get things right with God.
Just as I am without one plea.
Don't leave here in the same shape you came. Don't leave here with a need. Man, it's so easy to get things right with God. See, it's not fair. You should have to do a bunch of works, but God don't require you to do a bunch of works. God says, you just come and make it right with me. This altar is open. Come and talk to God.
To thee, O Lamb,
I will say this, the power of God that is drawing this morning is as strong as I have felt it in a long time. And if you're leaving here this morning with a need in your heart and your life, you're missing a great opportunity to get things right with God. But I want to tell you something. Even though we dismiss and even though people start to move around and leave here in just a moment, it's never too late. As God is still squeezing your heart and He is still wooing you, it's never too late to get things right with God. If you need me to come pray with you, I'll be at the back door. Grab me on the way out. Grab somebody that you have confidence in here in the church. Get things right with God before you leave here today. Thank you for your attendance, for your attention. I really appreciate you being here this morning. I'm looking forward to what God is going to continue doing in our church and just cannot wait to see what God's got in store for us. Ray Westmoreland, will you dismiss us in a word of prayer?